MashaAllah, barakallahu fiqh. These were couplets and poetry in the form of dua, beseeching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherein the chorus of the poetry is that the poet requests Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he wishes and he desires for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always pleased and happy with him. And that is the goal that each and every believer should have in his mind. Without acquiring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what a person strives for, what he tries to attain, that is of no value, that is of no avail. Whatever we do can only be of any worth in this world as well as the hereafter, if it is for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is something that we should always keep in our mind. And the life of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah and his Sahih al-Bukhari, similarly, those that have excelled in the field of knowledge and whose names today we also remember and we time and again mention, the key to their success was that what they did was for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever someone does something for the pleasure of Allah, that would automatically entail ikhlas, sincerity, that he will do it only for wanting to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There will be no ulterior motive or ulterior intentions in trying to do that particular deed or that act. And that is what makes a person successful in this life as well as the hereafter. So our Honorable Shaykh Hafidhullah time and again explains this very beautifully, that our goal and target should be the rida and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, in our day-to-day life, a lot of the things that we do and we spend a lot of time and effort behind, we don't check whether we are doing that to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or are we doing that for other ulterior motives. And if you were to ponder and think for a while and assess ourselves, only then would we realize that many of the things that we do is only because it has become a norm or a habit that we are doing, or we are only doing it, Allah save God and protect us all, in order for fame or in order to be recognized by the community or the people that we stay among. And if that is our goal and target, we will never achieve success in this world nor the hereafter. So the likes of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, what they achieved was solely because of them wanting to acquire the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them so successful. They underwent hardship, difficulty in order for pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They underwent poverty. They undertook so many journeys just for the sake of acquiring this knowledge. Not for fame, not for name, only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why their name is mentioned today. That is why we remember them today. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a person makes rida'i ilahi, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his goal and target, then no matter who he may be, no matter what background he may come from, no matter what race he is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will most definitely elevate him. A hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes in mind, wherein the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, addressing Salman al-Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said to him that if knowledge of deen were to be acquired from the Surayya star, a very far star in the orbit, if it were to be able to acquire it from that distance, then the people from Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they would most definitely undertake that journey in order to acquire that knowledge. They would most definitely undertake that journey to acquire that knowledge. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by mentioning Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu and giving this example that if knowledge was being imparted at such a distant star, then these people would go out their way to try and acquire that knowledge. So commentators of the hadith mention that here the Prophet ﷺ is giving glad tidings to those people who are non-Arabs, who do not hail from the Arabic tribes or Arab lineage. Because Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a non-Arab. He was a Persian. And Islam does not differentiate between race, between heritage, between color. The only differentiating factor in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taqwa and piety. That is why the likes of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was from Abyssinia, who was black in color, he reached great height, which the likes of someone very close to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in lineage, the likes of Abu Jahl, Abu Talib, Abu Lahab, could not acquire. So what does Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? That inna awla an-nas bi al-muttaqun haythu kanu wa man kanu. That the ones most closest to me are the muttaqun, those who are pious, those who have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherever they may be, whoever they may be. So a person could be living very close to Medina Munawwara, or he could be a family member of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if he does not have taqwa, he is not close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the likes of Bilal al-Habshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they achieved which so many family members of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, due to them not embracing Islam, accepting the Prophet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, could not acquire. So this is a very important message for us as Muslims, that when we make our goal and target the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is through that we will be successful. So Salman al-Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu hailed from Persia. So the commentators of the hadith say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is indirectly giving a glad tiding here to all those people who do not fall in the Arabic region or from Arab tribes. And they are non-Arabs, yet they went out of their way in order to acquire knowledge of deen, in order to study the hadith, compile the hadith, that their names are even remembered till today. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi was a non-Arab. Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi was a non-Arab. Imam Abu Dawud is a non-Arab. Imam Tirmizi is a non-Arab. Imam Nasa'i is a non-Arab. Imam Ibn Majah is also non-Arab. So the six most authentic books on hadith have been compiled by people who are not Arabs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not differentiate between heritage, between where a person's background is from. The differentiating factor in the court of Allah is only taqwa and piety. And it is through taqwa and piety that a person is able to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the more a person pleases Allah, no matter who he is, where he hails from, no matter what his background is, he is the one successful in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That even till today and until the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will preserve their names and we make mention of them. Throughout the world, in the madaris, these books are taught. And this is a sign of their acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are so many books that we know of that have been written by pious elders who lived a simple life. And probably when they wrote that book, it didn't even cross their minds that there are so many people who benefit from their book. Just take the example of Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, who compiled Fazaili Amal, Fazaili Sadaqat. So many people throughout the world have been reading this book of his till today, and inshallah until the day of judgment, because it has become a source of guidance and a source of hidayah for so many people in the world. So what made their work and whatever they authored so successful? It was nothing but their sincerity and their endeavor to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Imam Malik rahimahullah, when he compiled his Mu'atta,
someone said to him that upon you compiling Mu'atta, many people have also copied you. Many people have copied you and they have also compiled their own compilation and hadith. So Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi said that time will tell. Time will tell whose work is acceptable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was referring to this fact that if these people have authored these books for fame or to be recognized and to acquire some sort of status in this world, their work would not flourish. And today, apart from the Mu'atta of Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayh, there is no mention of any other Mu'atta. We don't even know who wrote those Mu'atta. Because they were devoid of sincerity, of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is what we need to acquire. That is what we need to make the target of our lives. That we only please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whatever we do. And the likes of our Shaykh al-Hadith, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Nawwar Allah Marqadahu, he would say that madrasa is not the objective, khanka is not objective, da'wah and tabligh is not objective. Then he would further say that I fear that someone may issue a fatwa against me of kufr. I say even salah is not objective. Even zakah is not objective, even fasting is not objective, even hajj is not objective. The only objective behind doing all these things is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person could be performing salah, but if he is displeasing Allah, that salah is of no value. He could be giving zakat, but if he's not pleasing Allah, that giving and spending is of no value. He could be fasting, but if he's not pleasing Allah, that is of no value. He could be going for hajj, but if he's not pleasing Allah, that is of no value. A person could become an alim. He could be addressing a large gathering. But if he is not acquiring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this deed of his, then that is not going to bring him near to Allah. Rather, that will take him further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person could be spending so much time with a shaykh, but if he is not acquiring the pleasure of Allah, he is not going to be successful. A person could be going out in tabligh months on end, but if he is not acquiring the pleasure of Allah, that going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is of no value. So this is the most crucial aspect in a believer's life, that he do everything only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we can only know what is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through knowledge. Without knowledge, we won't know how to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we don't have correct knowledge, we will not know what is beneficial for us and what is harmful for us. So we have to take out time and acquire authentic knowledge through genuine, authentic sources. So we sit in the company of the ulama and learn from them knowledge. And together with that knowledge, in order to create the zeal to practice that knowledge. Just knowledge in itself does not motivate a person to do something. That is why there are so many learned people, but not necessarily that learned person, despite the knowledge that he possesses, is the most pious by way of doing what he's supposed to do. Because practicing is different to knowing. Because if knowledge was the key to success, then it's very easy for us to understand that from the moment that Allah created this world, our arch enemy is Iblis, Shaitan. Can there be anyone at this present moment in time more knowledgeable than him? There isn't anyone. He's the most knowledgeable, but does that knowledge take him anywhere? That knowledge has caused destruction for him. So Allah has proven to us that such a being, the likes of Iblis, Shaitan, who had so much knowledge, who possesses so much knowledge, but that knowledge is of no avail to him. Because he is not acquiring the pleasure of Allah through that knowledge. Rather, he's misused that knowledge and distanced himself from the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in order for us to act upon that knowledge, it is of utmost importance that we sit in the company of the mashayikh and know how we are then able to combat our nafs, control our base desires, and do what is expected of us. It is only through that we will be able to acquire success of this world and the success of the hereafter. Our Honorable Shaykh Hafidhullah time and again encourages us that we acquire knowledge, and in order to practice upon that knowledge, we sit in the company of our mashayikh so that we know what is beneficial for us, what we need to do and how we need to act upon that. I would give an example in one hadith. It comes that once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam dispatched a group of companions on an expedition, and it happened to be a Friday. It happened to be a Friday, Jumu'ah. So the army and the group, they left. But one companion, he decided, I'm going to leave, I'm not going to stay behind. But because it is Jumu'ah, I'm going to perform Jumu'ah in Masjid al-Nabawi behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and thereafter I would leave. Upon completion of Jumu'ah, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to know that this is what his companion did, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him that for you to have left with the army in the morning, that was more rewarding for you than you performing Jumu'ah Salah behind me in Masjid al-Nabawi. So this is what you call knowing what is most beneficial for you at what particular time. So by knowledge, a person cannot know that. Through his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would know what is most beneficial for me at what particular time. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us through many examples in deen. Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Taqi Uthmani Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, in his Isna'i Khutubat, he was discussing this topic of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He mentions the example of Hajj. That if you look at Hajj, from the beginning till the end, all the rituals that we have been told to do, majority of them are contrary to what we have to do on a normal day as a Muslim. Majority of those things are contrary and it defies the intellect. So a person may question that why is it that we have to do that? On a normal day you could wear normal clothing, you're encouraged to put on perfume, to be dressed up neatly, tidily, and look in a good condition. But come Hajj, you have to wear a particular clothing for males. You can't clip your nails, cut your hair. Your hair may become disheveled. You will look unkempt. But despite that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us this is how you should behave during these days of Hajj, in order to teach us that what you need to do in life is follow what I say and try and please me. When you're in Muzdalifah, when you're in Arafah, combination of salah. Whereas anywhere else, you can't combine two salah or combine it in the sense that you wait for the expiry of one salah and then perform Maghrib and Isha at the time of Isha. So Allah is teaching us this very important lesson that what you need to do is please me. Whatever I say, that is what you need to do. And that should be your goal and objective. Only then would you acquire success of this world and success of the hereafter. So what we need to understand is that whatever we do in our lives, our goal and objective should only be the rida and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It shouldn't be for our own fame, for our own recognition, or to acquire status and some position in this world. Because if that is the case, then these very same actions would become a means of our destruction in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as the Shaykh al-Hadith, as Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, this is where he diverted people's attention towards that madrasa is not objective, da'wah tabligh is not objective, khanqah is not objective. The objective is the rida and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rida and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what we all need to strive to acquire. So the students that will be graduating, this should be our goal and our objective. That how am I to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Many a time in the world, many opportunities may come wherein people may divert our attention towards something. And it may seem that this is the most opportunist way for me forward. But if it falls against the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should never do that. We should only do whatever pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that is our goal and motive, inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely assist us in this life and the life of the hereafter. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh, this is what we find in his life, that in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he did so much and he made so many sacrifices. He made so many sacrifices. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh, one incident about his sacrifice is mentioned that once on a journey, he was accompanied by someone on a ship and he happened to have 3,000 gold coins. So he told his companion, with this fear that if something ever happened, at least this person should know, so that this money of mine, he may be able to pass it on to my family. So as soon as he told him, this person's intentions changed. Because he knew that the money that Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi has, only myself and Imam Bukhari knows of this. So he made a false claim, announcing in the ship that my 3,000 gold coins have been stolen. So obviously, the person responsible for the ship, he made sure that everyone's belongings are checked. And when everyone was searched, there was no sign of that money. There was no sign of that money. So after everything had calmed down, the person that was staying with Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, he approached him and he told him that I know for a fact that what you said to me was not a lie, that you had those gold coins, but now inform me, what did you do with those gold coins? I made an evil intention and I wanted to take that money off you by making this announcement, but there is no sign of that money anywhere. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi said to him that as soon as this false alarm was raised, I went to the edge of the ship and I threw that money into the ocean. I got rid of that money. And then he said, the reason for this is that I am studying the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I'm compiling a book on the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if by you claiming that your money was in my possession, that money were to be found in my possession, then no one would have accepted my authenticity. And my narrating a hadith would never have been acceptable among the muhaddithin and in the field of hadith. So because I did not want to taint my personality and my integrity, therefore I got rid of that money. So people, the likes of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh, went to such extent that they would sacrifice their riches and their fortunes for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of wanting to preserve the deen, preserve the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is because of these sacrifices that they made, that today we remember them. And today their works we benefit from. So if we want the same success, that is what we also need to strive for. The pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can only be achieved if we, after acquiring knowledge, sit in the company of the ulama. Sit in the company of the ulama and our mashayikh. Because they know the easy route and the quickest route to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which, if we were to spend many years, we will not be able to achieve that success that these people have been blessed with, because of their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should take out time on a monthly basis. And in our localities, if we have the opportunity, sit in the company of the mashayikh here at the Islamic Dawah Academy. This opportunity is available to everyone. The first Saturday of the month, we have our Honorable Shaykh Hafidhullah's Islahi and Tarbiyati program. The first Saturday of the month, which generally begins at 5 o'clock until 8 o'clock. So this is a program wherein we are taught how we are to control ourselves and what are the methods of controlling our base desires and thereafter giving our utmost in trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those of us that are able to attend, we should make a point of coming on the first Saturday of the month. And throughout the year, this program continues. Those that are from Leicester, they're very fortunate that On a weekly basis, programs happen. On a Tuesday, we have the Darsi Hadith of our Honorable Shaykh. On a Friday, we have his Isnahi Majalis, which again is relayed on the receiver as well as through the internet. Those of us that are not from Leicester, we can still benefit from these programs and learn the path and the way of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And most importantly, during the month of Ramadan, the last 10 days i'tikaf, we have the sunnah i'tikaf taking place here. So those of us who are associated to our shaykh, we should make a point of coming and benefiting from these auspicious gatherings so that we are able to acquire the recognition of Allah, and through that recognition we are then able to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one is to know and have the knowledge of what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other is the ability then to be able to practice what we know. So that can only come through auspicious gatherings and through the company of pious people, through sitting in their company and following their guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for us to understand the path leading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the different ways through which we are able to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they also understood this. They also understood this. It is for this reason that in many hadith, we find the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum asking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that ayyul islami khayr, ayyul islami afdal, which deed or which action from the different actions of Islam is the most virtuous or is the best. So the companions knew what Islam is. They knew what they had to do and what they had to stay away from. But even they could not differentiate or be able to give preference to deeds one over the other. And that is why they would ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet of Allah, which is the best deed? Which is the most rewarding deed? So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would explain to them, and we find different answers that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave. Because obviously, each person's personality, temperament is different. And according to his condition, the answer would be given by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So to some, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say that to perform salah at its prescribed time, that is the most virtuous. That is the most virtuous deed. To others, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say that the one from whose tongue and hands others stay safe, he is the best Muslim. So different people were given different answers because of their condition. So when we associate ourselves to a shaykh, he knowing what our situation is, according to that, he would tell us that this is most rewarding and this is most beneficial for you. This is most rewarding, most beneficial for you. The likes of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he decided to go for Umrah, he also asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I want to go for Umrah. And he sought permission. So Umrah is not some deed which is less rewarding or which is a deed which is going to take a person and distance him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he still asked. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him permission and said to him that include me in your dua as well. Because the companions would want to know what is the reward, what is the deed that is going to be most beneficial, and what is the deed that is going to bring the most pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we may have many deeds that we can do. Many deeds that we can do. We can go in, for example, we can go for Umrah in Ramadan. We can go for Da'wah and Tabligh in Ramadan. We can go and sit in the company of the Shaykh in Ramadan. But each of these three situations would differ in their virtue and in their bringing the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the condition of the person. It won't be in every condition that to go for Umrah is the best. Or it won't be to go for Da'wah and Tabligh is the best. It won't be to sit in the company of the Shaykh is the best. The Shaykh, knowing the condition of the person who is asking the question, he would then give him the answer that for you, in this condition of yours, to stay at home may be more rewarding because his wife could be expecting. His parents could be in need of his service. The incident of Uwais Qarni, which we have heard time and again, he had the opportunity to come and acquire the status of a Sahabi. To come and acquire the status of the Sahabi But he let that opportunity go. He let that opportunity go, and he did not come into the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and become a sahabi. And he remained a tabi'i, the one who was fortunate enough to see the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum. But when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned his name to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he told him that, O Umar, a time would come when someone from Yemen, from the tribe of Qarn, will come, and these would be his qualities. And what was one of the qualities? The Prophet ﷺ said that he would have served his mother. He would have been at the service of his mother. So on the one hand was his opportunity to come to Medina Munawwara and become a sahabi. And on the other hand was his duty and responsibility towards his mother. If it was one of us, we would have thought that to sacrifice my mother, that would be most rewarding, and that would be the most pleasing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But no, he knew what deen was. He knew that my objective is not what my feelings are. My goal and objective is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he sacrificed coming to Medina Munawwara, and he stayed in the service of his mother. And as a result, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he will come, you must request him to make dua for you, because the dua that he makes, when he asks forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts his dua. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would be in search for Uwaisi Qarni, until finally he came across him and he requested him to make dua for him. So let us make sure that this is our goal and target in life, that we want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and come what may, each and every action of ours would be solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to act upon what has been said.